I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. It's a podcast by fans exploring the weekly Marvel Comics issues and news. We're not experts, just a few lifelong Marvel comic fans that want to share our weekly love of new and classic Marvel comic issues. Featuring Lauren's Mutant Musings.
That's, you know, Jean Grey. And since Jean is in this, no spoilers, she dies. Because, let's face it, Jean always dies.
Featuring Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Reports.
In this issue, the Howling Commandos attack the dock. Rather than trying to take or destroy the base, they're attempting to steal the three helicarriers that are based there.
And featuring Neil's Mighty Marvel moments.
All I can say is, that Reed Richards, he's so hot right now. Confused yet? Good. Let's get into it.
This podcast is not produced, maintained, owned, or directed by Marvel Comics, the Disney Corporation, Fox, Sony, ABC, or Marvel Studios. All characters, situations, and stories are properties of Marvel Comics. Stand by for your weekly Marvel comic debriefing. I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you are listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.
Now it's time for your scheduled Marvel comic book debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer, your host to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. This podcast covers Marvel comics that were released for the week starting December 16th, 2015. This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, Black Adam S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report covering Secret Warriors number 9 from 2009. Lauren's Mutant Musings discussing the all-new X-Men number 2. And Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment covering the Secret Wars title, Battle World Ultimate End number 5. And moving on to the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe with all-new Inhumans number 2, Amazing Spider-Man number 1.1, The Illuminati number 2, The Civil War Prelude number 1 of 4, The Mighty Thor number 2, Ms. Marvel number 2, Silk number 2, Squadron Supreme number 1, The Uncanny Inhumans number 3, Web Warriors number 2, and Weird World number 1. Also, Neil's Longbox Picks of the Week, Black Knight number 2, Scarlet Witch number 1, Ultimates number 2, and Hercules number 2, all from last week. As always, if you want to hear more about the ABC television show, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe, please check out the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast found at GunnaGeek.com. And now, Black Adam S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report.
This is consultant Black Adam, and this week I'm digging into the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives to look at Secret Warriors number 9. This issue was originally published October 28th, 2009, and was the third issue in the God of Fear, God of War arc. The issue was written by Jonathan Hickman with art by Alessandro Vitti. The issue flashes back a few minutes to Alexander, JT, and Eden escaping from the Hammer forces pursuing them. They reach the roof so Eden can get his bearings to teleport them away, but they find that Hammer and the Dark Avengers, including Norman Osborn, now in his Iron Patriot armor, beat them there. They teleport back to base with Osborn's forces hot on their heels, triggering the base's self-destruct mechanism. The following fight scene has a nice touch with the self-destruct timer going in a bar across the pages. Yo-Yo uses her speed to keep Hammer off balance, giving the rest of the team time to get suited up. Daisy also activates all of the Nick Fury life model decoys at the base, directing them at Hammer while the Secret Warriors fight off the Dark Avengers. Stonewall manages to absorb the metal of Ares' axe to fight him to a standstill, while Daisy uses her powers to shatter Osborn's helmet. With 30 seconds to go on the self-destruct, the Secret Warriors teleport away. Meanwhile, John Garrett goes to his meeting with the suspected traitor, who knows enough about him to be surprised that he was able to walk through the office's metal detectors without setting them off with all his cyborg parts. He gives a few obscure references before saying the meeting is done. The split plot lines of this issue worked really well, with the Secret Warriors providing an impressive action scene, while Garrett and Fury provided the intrigue. I'll be back in the new year with a one-shot that continues Fury and Garrett's investigation.
Oh boy, I love a good self-destruct timer story. A host of life model decoys. Can life get any better? Garrett meeting a traitor? Very interesting indeed. Just more evidence that if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you definitely need to pick up this comic book run. Next up, Lauren's Mutant Musings.
Hey, X-Fans. There's only one X-Men comic for the week of December 16th, 2015. All-New X-Men number 2 by writer Dennis Hopeless and artist Mark Bagley. This issue continues young Scott's thoughts on Cyclops and the future/present, which is namely that he doesn't really like it. We learn a little bit more about this group calling themselves the Ghost of Cyclops, and we see them fight it out with the current X-Men, that is Laura Kinney, X-23 as Wolverine, and a lot of the past X-Men as current kids. I know, it's all very confusing. It's very X-Men. And as a break from the heavy psychological stuff, we get the Bamfs being Bamfs. Bamfs, for those who don't know, are tiny little nightcrawler-like things who really just want to teleport and eat and tend not to wear any clothes. It's all quite funny. This issue was a good continuation. I'm not sure it stands up on its own, but hey, it's a good addition to the story. That's it for this week. See you next week, and remember, mutant and proud.
Was I listening to future Lauren this week? Was it present Lauren? Is it past Lauren? I'm so confused. An X-23! I admit, I squeed a bit when I saw her on the cover in the comic book store. Bamfs? Can you feed them after midnight? Do they multiply and take over starships? I definitely had a fun time reading this issue. And now, it's time for Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment.
Hi Agents, Neil here with your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition Marvel Moment, covering the new releases from December 16th, 2015. Okay Marvel fans, this cold may have taken me out of action last week, but there's no way I'm missing all the Marvel goodness that we have leading up to the Christmas vacation. So what are we waiting for? Let's get into it. As is often the case, this week brings us one of the last issues in the Secret Wars event, Battle World, Ultimate End number 5. However, don't be fooled into thinking that since we're several months into the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, that this title isn't worth a second look. The Ultimate End series basically focused on a battle royale in New York between the heroes of the Ultimate Universe and the 616. This issue doesn't end with a massive fight, though, but rather what is a touching and sincere goodbye to some of the characters we've gotten to know in both universes as Marvel transitions into the all-new universe. There's a ton of cameos, and it turns out I'm really happy to have grabbed this title. That's it for Secret Wars, so now let's dive into the all-new, all-different universe. All-new Inhumans number 2 has Crystal and her team of Inhumans and New Humans traveling to the fictional country of Sin Kong, which you can effectively think of North Korea in the Marvel Universe. The writers of this book promised moral dilemmas and stories with shades of gray, and this is a great example. Writers James Asmus and Charles Sewell tell a really compelling and complex story, which is complemented by Stefano Caselli's great art, and the ending definitely has me primed for more Inhumans next month. While the numbering of Amazing Spider-Man number 1.1 is a bit confusing, I decided to take a chance on it, as the all-new, all-different run of Amazing Spider-Man has definitely been one of the hits of the new Marvel Universe. Issue number 1.1 scales back the scope of the storyline, from huge, globe-spanning conflict against the Zodiac Gang to local matters impacting New York. Writer Jorge Molina, who writes television's Agent Carter series, proves he's got the writing chops to handle this interlude, and the story really helped me as a reader connect with Peter and the reasons he's doing what he does. Illuminati number 2 gives us the second installment in Marvel's all-villain lineup title, which is starting to pick up a superior spouse of Spider-Man vibe. The interplay between Titania and the rest of the Hood's recruits is pretty humorous, and the book does a good job of walking the line between feeling empathetic for the villains and making you smile, while all the while questioning the motives of everyone in the gang. Issue 1 felt a bit jumbled, but with some of the exposition out of the way, Issue 2 felt a lot smoother. I was a bit let down by Captain America Civil War Prelude number 1 of 4, as I was expecting this title to be like the Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude titles, which gave us some really critical backstory into characters like Nebula and Gamora. Instead, this issue is a shot-for-shot retelling of Iron Man number 3, the movie, including all the major points of the movie up until Tony's house is destroyed by the Mandarin's choppers. From the previews, it looks like issue 2 will continue the story, including the final conflict with the hordes of extremist soldiers. Needless to say, if you're up on your MCU Iron Man, then you might consider saving your pennies and taking a chance on a different title. The Mighty Thor number 2 continues writer Jason Aaron's fantastic fun on this series. And in this issue, we find the Goddess of Thunder going up against Odin's Thunder Guard in the continuation of last issue's cliffhanger on the Bifrost Bridge. While we definitely haven't seen the last of the Thunder Guard, there's plenty of action in Alfheim where Malekith's War of the Elves rages on. This issue has an almost parallel focus on Loki, which serves to establish his character in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. Given that there were effectively two Lokis pre-Secret Wars, and the Loki in the Thor's titles was living in an alley in a cardboard box, we really need this look at the character to figure out who he is and what he's doing. Listen, this is a great series, and if you haven't checked it out for yourself, stop by your local comic book shop and flip through an issue and judge for yourself. Ms. Marvel number 2 from writer G. Willow Wilson continues to give us a fantastic book that mixes earnest fun with teenage life and issues facing society in a really delightful issue. What makes Ms. Marvel special is that with a focus on Kamala dealing with street-level issues, there's ample opportunity to look at regular life and how it intermingles with being a superhero. And it struck me that titles like Spider-Man that have done this well in the past have created characters that have resonated with the readers across generations. Given that some of the issues that we're faced with today in society regarding race and religion, I truly hope that Kamala's impact continues to reach beyond the page. Silk number 2 continues the Black Cat storyline from the first issue, and like a few other relaunched titles, this series needs a few issues to put all the pieces in place before it really ramps up. The tensions between Black Cat, Silk, and Killer Shrike, offset against issues at work with J. Jonah Jameson, and the troubles with the Goblin Nation have a lot of moving pieces, which feels like they're really going to come together in the next issue. I am really digging Joanna Tiana Ford's art on this book, so if you've been curious about Silk, grab issues 1 and 2 before the next issue lands in January so you're up to speed. Okay, when I saw Squadron Supreme number 1, I tried not to get too excited. Marvel has teased that this wasn't going to be a standard storyline, and this first issue doesn't disappoint. While the Squadron Sinister title in Secret Wars portrayed the Squadron as villains, this title goes in a slightly different direction, bringing together members of the Squadron from different realities who survived the Secret Wars event. In the issue, perhaps Jim Hammond, the original Human Torch, puts it best when he says, "A team with this level of power and the reasoning of Frank Castle needs to be stopped." Now, if you're wondering what they could have done to warrant that kind of admonishment, either pick up the book, take a poke around the internet, or drop me a line on Twitter, because their actions have an immediate and real impact on the balance of power in the Marvel Universe. For all these reasons, it's definitely my pick of the week this week. The Uncanny Inhumans number 3 continues the arc of the Inhuman royal family, along with Beast and the Human Torch, chasing Kang the Conqueror through time, who, through the magic of time travel, also happens to be Black Bolt and Medusa's son. The pacing of this issue was right on, but more importantly, for me, the mark of a good Black Bolt story is how the illustrator manages to convey a range of emotions with a character who can't speak. Steve McNiven's pencils, combined with Jay Liston's inks, achieves this, and as a result, I felt this book really delivered. If one spider isn't enough for you, this week we also got Web Warriors number 2, with our team of spiders going head-to-head against a cadre of Electros from across the multiverse. We get some great solo action from some of the team this week, but sadly, some of my favorite Spider-Men were a bit underused. I'm not going to hold that against this title, though, as with any ensemble book, sometimes your favorites get all the screen time and sometimes they don't. The Multiverse Electro story advances really well, and in all honesty, I'm really digging this title. And finally, Weird World number 1 also dropped this week, making it the second title that Marvel has set in its mashup world of sci-fi and high fantasy. The story focuses on our protagonist Becca, trapped in Weird World, and as you would expect from a title known for its stunning images, the art by Mike Del Mundo is absolutely gorgeous. There were a few titles I didn't get a chance to check out this week, including Deadpool and Cable Split Second No. 5, Deadpool Issue 3.1, Starbrand Night Mask No. 1, and The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl No. 3. So if you did, and you want to share your thoughts, pick up the phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail, or hit me up on Twitter at @NeilIsn'tWitty. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Well, that wraps up the new releases for this week, so now let's crack open the Mylar and head into the long boxes and take a look at a classic back issue or two. This week, I'm going to do something a little different for the long box. Since I had to miss a week last week, I want to highlight a few standout titles that are probably still on the shelves at your local comic shop that you should really check out. Black Knight No. 2 from writer Frank Thierry with art by Luca Pizzari and Kev Walker continues the story of Dane Whitman in Weird World, chronicling the events that led him there, as well as the events which led Steve Rogers and the Uncanny Avengers to have followed him. This was a fantastic issue. Scarlet Witch No. 1 kicks off a stunning new series focused on Wanda, with her old mentor, Agatha Harkness, effectively guiding her as a Force ghost. Vanessa R. Del Rey's art was beautiful, and James Robinson's story probably has this at the top of the list of new No. 1 issues this year. The Ultimates No. 2 continues the story of this Avenger spinoff team dealing with Galactus, and it's another one of those books that shakes up the status quo in the Marvel Universe. All I can say is wow. Definitely check out The Ultimates. And finally, Hercules No. 2, while not epic in scale or impact, was a fun read if you love mixing mythology with comics. So if you're curious and you're a fan of the big guy, definitely check it out. Well, that wraps it up for another week, True Believers. So as always, if you want to share your thoughts, head on over to the Gunna Geek forums or grab a phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail. Later, guys!
I'm so glad I started to pick up both the Ms. Marvel issues so far, and I agree with Neil's commentary on the title. Squadron Supreme was a great find in the comic book store this week as well. Another title that I had a chance to pick up this week, and I concur with Neil on his Book of the Week this week. Thanks, Neil, for taking the time in your long box segment for covering some of the Prime titles from last week, and we certainly hope you get better soon. Thank you very much to Adam. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is the series to read if you are watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. currently. All of the Secret Warriors issues are available on the Marvel Unlimited app, so you can grab all this amazing comic sweetness. Adam is our S.H.I.E.L.D. comic specialist, so if you have a comment or question on S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, Adam can be found on Twitter at StarSaber_222. Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report background music this week was again titled The Greater Good Epic Cinematic Trailer by Christopher Fisher Audio, and we'll probably be keeping it around for a while. Thank you very much to our own mutant villain, Lab Rat Lauren, who is bringing us through the all-new, all-different X-Men comic titles. It's a fun series to get into, and I love all the history that Lauren brings to her segments each week. And thank you very much to Agent Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast for providing the awesome intro and outro voiceovers. We certainly appreciate hearing from you each week, and we're glad to have you on board Long Box Edition. And thank you, listener. We sincerely appreciate you listening and downloading both this podcast and the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. All of us involved want to hear from you on how you like the podcasts, or your thoughts about the Marvel comics, including your take on the current Ms. Marvel title or the Squadron Supreme title. So please check out all the ways to contact us in the show notes or in the outro of the show, or hit me up on Twitter at Stargate Pioneer. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. If you want to contact us, you can tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Swing by our website, www.legendsofshield.com. Look up our Tumblr page at legendsofshield.tumblr.com. Check out our Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. YouTube channel, or send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. Intro and outro music, titled Epic Dramatic Track, 2014 version by Star Sound. Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report background music, titled Epic Motivation by Rocka Music. And Neil's Mighty Marvel music, titled Epic Cinematic Orchestral Background Music by Cinescore, can be found at pawn5.com. Lauren's Mutant Musings background music, titled The Descent by Kevin MacLeod, can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not represent Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. Marvel Comics are the property of Marvel. No infringement is intended. We will see you on our next exciting installment of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition.